We pack our children into a limousine wearing a $1,000 or $1,500 gown and $500 shoes and $300 haircut and makeup. And this is emphatically a child 14, 15, 16 years old. What are we thinking? We bombard our children with images they are not prepared for. We loose them on the internet, which along with its blessings is a sewer of the crudest, most unkind, unworthy, ungodly images that the febrile brain of humanity can produce. We give them access in their rooms so that they can explore this underworld without any adult watching. What are we thinking? We send them to parties knowing that their peers in high school will drink, will use drugs, will treat their bodies as though they are disposable. What are we thinking? We take pride in the struggle that permitted us to preserve a people and a tradition for 4,000 years and wonder, is this what we preserved ourselves for? So that we could instruct our children implicitly, if not explicitly, that the end of life, the goal of existence, is wealth and sensation. We bring 10-year-olds to concerts where the principal virtue of the performer is that she creates a sexual allure in the way she dresses and the way she sings, and we encourage by their presence our 10-year-olds to worship her, to emulate her, to watch movies that adore her and read magazines that glorify her. What are we doing? And what are we thinking when we put in our hand, the hands of our children, material that sexualizes children, that encourages them to think of themselves as adults? When in our history did our privileges turn to extravagance, our good fortune to greed, and our luck to this sort of thoughtless lavishness? At the end of every Shabbat, we make Havdalah, and Havdalah is at the root of what Judaism is about. It's about distinctions. We make distinctions between light and darkness, between the days of the week and the Shabbat, but we are losing the distinction of child and adult. The first thing that we learn when we are children and we recite our prayers is lilmod ulilamed, that we are to learn and to teach. And we as adults have lost our pedagogic function, the function of being a teacher. So let me suggest this morning a word for us to teach. The word is no. Melville said about Hawthorne in one of his letters that Hawthorne knew how to say no in thunder. And this is the word we have lost, and it is the only word that grants you freedom. The day will come when your child's decency, integrity, family, and maybe sanity will be saved by the ability to say no. Not because I can't, but because I won't. In other words, there are things that you could give your children that you can't afford, that they know you can't afford, and you still shouldn't give it to them. Not because you can't, but because you won't. Because if you don't say no, they will never learn how to say no. And sooner or later in our world, they will be asked to do something that is destructive to them, and they won't be able to say no. After all, they never learned it. They didn't learn it from their parents. They didn't learn it from the TV. They didn't learn it from the internet. They didn't learn it in school. There is no place unless they learn it from us. God help the child who has never learned to say no. She or he will be destroyed. And we are subverting the souls of our children by allowing them to tell us how to be parents. But so-and-so's parents said yes. To which the age-old and appropriate answer is, but I say no. And if you say, as you might, and all of us do, at one time or another, but you don't understand, they get so upset and so angry, and they resent and even hate, the answer is, that's why you're a parent. Because children need someone sometimes to fight against and to resent and even to hate, and we are supposed to be able to take it because we're supposed to be grown-ups. And not always give in to the anger, the manipulation, the hurt feelings when we know better. And we do know better. That's why we're grown-ups. When your child tells you you forgot what it was like to be a kid, he may be right. But he never knew what it was like to be a grown-up. And of the two, it is the grown-up who is supposed to know better. It's the grown-up who's supposed to say, when they hear that in an after-party in a high school, kids have rented hotel rooms, you're not going. Or they hear that at a prom, kids are drinking, you're not going. And even if your child resents you for the rest of her natural life, you'll still be right. And the alternative is not teaching our children how to say no. On a deep level, we know what's best. We don't always do what's best, but we know what's best. We should trust ourselves. There are so many experts who will tell you how to parent. But when you listen to the best of them, and I hope, by the way, that you will join us tomorrow at our parenting seminar, which begins in the morning, I believe at 9 or 10 o'clock. I have the information and I'll tell you during the announcements. And you will hear some of the best experts on parenting who can teach you techniques. But the principles, we all know. I know I have heard parents say that I shouldn't let him do this, but I did. I know that I shouldn't have bought that for her, but she wanted it so much. But it is precisely when the conflict is at the most acute that the principle is needed. It is no lesson to say no to something that someone doesn't want. The lesson comes when you say no to something that she or he wants, but you know they shouldn't have. Because as adults, there will be a lot of things we want and we know we shouldn't have. And a good training in no is very useful. I remember my father telling me that when he was growing up in Boston, one day he came home with holes in his shoes, and he said to his mother, "I need new shoes," and she said, "I can't afford them." She could speak the language of can't, but we're not in that place. Instead, we speak the language of abundance. When Moses came before the burning bush, the first thing God tells him is, take your shoes off. And the commentators say the reason he has to take his shoes off is because somebody who is going to lead a life of goodness and especially of leadership has to feel every thorn, every bramble, every pain. We know that. We know that it's true. We know that a child's feeling pain is actually at times an important lesson and a good thing, even if a hard thing. But instead, we slip the Manolo Blahniks on their feet and send them off to feel nothing but abundance. It's a bad thing, and we know it. As a child, I had friends. But my parents weren't my friends. They were my parents. And next to trusting yourself, it seems to me that the greatest single lesson that our generation has yet to imbibe and needs desperately to absorb is we are not our children's friends. They have friends, and if they don't, then they need to learn how to make friends. What they don't need from us is friendship. What they do need from us is parenting. And parenting is different from being a friend. When you talk to a parent, it feels different from talking to a friend. When you seek comfort and consolation from a parent, it is deeper and more eternal and more wonderful than seeking it from a friend. And when you look for guidance from a parent, it had better be deeper, richer, wiser, and more certain guidance than you can get from your friends. They have plenty of yes. They need some no. They've got lots of stuff. They need some soul. There are children in our congregation, in our community, who clearly have never been told, you're not allowed to do that. An anecdote. The other day, my wife accompanied someone to a self-defense class where there were a bunch of children who were learning self-defense, boys and girls. And one of the girls hit one of the boys. And the boy turned around and hit her back. And the teacher said, "You must never hit a girl." And he said, "But she hit me first." And he said, "You must never hit a girl. You have to have honor." How many of you, he asked, know what it is to have honor? None of the boys raised their hands. So he gave them a lecture about what it is to have honor. And honor, in part, comes from no. Honor comes from, I want to do this, but it is dishonorable. We tend not to talk in those sorts of terms to our children because we're embarrassed, but it's their loss. because as a result, we raise children who don't know what honor is. The Talmud says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. A lot of us don't say no because we know if we do, then begins the siege of wearing us down, of slamming doors and hysterics and tears and yelling and comparisons of both the child and the parent. Do you know what you're like? And you know that I'm the only one who's not allowed to do this. The only one without this. The only one without that. But I would far rather raise a child who is the only one without a certain extravagant material advantage than to raise a child who is the only one who doesn't know what it means to say no. And we have to help each other. In the Jewish tradition, there is a concept called chizuk, strengthening. Chizuk means when someone else's resources are flagging, you come in and you give them a shot in the arm. If more than one parent said no, it would help every parent who said no. If a community of parents gets together and says, you know what, I know all the kids are going to this function. I don't want my kid to go. I know it's bad for their soul. I know it's not good for them. I know even though they'll enjoy it, it won't improve who they are. Are you with me? And some other parents join, it would be better. But even if nobody else joins, you are the parent for your child, and the community cannot dissuade you from what you know is right. This morning, we read Mishpatim, right after the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are these grand, lofty, spiritual principles, and Mishpatim is the nitty-gritty of it. And almost every commentator says that this is because, to quote what Solomon Schachter once said, human beings can't live on oxygen alone. We don't live in a rarefied atmosphere. We live day to day, 1,000 decisions. And in each decision that shapes our children's souls, we have to make the right one. The right school. The right events. The right trips, the right summer programs, the right learning, the right books, the right concerts, the right shows. You cannot keep all of American culture out, nor would you want to. There is much that is rich and beautiful in popular culture as well as classical culture. But given how much there is, the necessity for learning limits is that much greater. We're not raising children for tomorrow or next week or next year. We don't make decisions so that my child will like me a month from now. Our job isn't to make happy children. Our job is to make capable, confident, and moral adults. We're raising our children for 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. We're raising them for when we're not here. And boy, they had better be able to say no, because the choices aren't going to get easier. They're just going to get harder. So if you send your child to a school where they don't draw limits, you better draw limits. If you know that your child is going somewhere where they're going to do things that are dangerous to children, Don't send them. Hard as it is. Remember what we read in this morning's parsha. Lo tiyeh acharei rabim lahatot. Don't go after the many to do evil. And when the commentators ask, why does it say don't go after the many to do evil? You shouldn't go after one person to do evil either. They say because in every community, when a group of people are doing something, it puts that much more pressure on you. It's that much harder to resist. And the Torah needs to tell you, it doesn't matter how many people are doing it, you still have to say no. Until they are adults, we have to say no on their behalf. It's what it means to be a grown-up. And every child deserves to be raised in a house with grown-ups. That is our mission. And it is, in fact, our promise when we bring a new soul into the world. We live in Los Angeles, in the heart of a culture that celebrates excess and privilege. There is no way to draw fine lines. But every day, we should have that verse in our minds. Acharei rabim lahatot. After the many to sin. And teach our children that ultimately, they will discover that if you draw limits around your life, and if you do what the Torah tells us, Hishamer et nafshecha ma'od, guard your soul zealously, you can walk through any world with goodness, with kindness, with honor, and with love. Shabbat Shalom.